Well, hello again, George Holford, Local Matters. Very special guest this morning, today, and we're very excited to remind the audience this program is about the who. It's about people in our community, our region, and our state who daily make up the tapestry of our community and truly, in their own way, make a difference. And today we've got a fairly new difference maker, Liz Wilkinson, who is the administrator of the Tennessee Rail Trail and also the Tennessee Rail Authority. So this, and I believe we're going to talk more about that in addition to who are you. But this is the first time we've had this emphasis to the point to push into a process to expand the rail trail to what it can be and will be in the future. So, Liz, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
And you thought I was kidding off air, but we're going to start with you at age birth.
All right.
And this is about telling your story, and just start at birth, and let's just wherever you want it to go. And then don't spend a lot of time in high school, but it's okay if you do. And we'll just take us growing up and your formative years and whatever.
Okay. Well, birth. I was born in Cookeville, actually.
Okay.
My parents are both tech graduates, mm-hmm. and they kind of stuck around and raised me and my brother, and then eventually moved over to Oak Ridge. So that's where I went to grade school, high school. And then I came back to Tech.
You came back to Tech. Good.
Yeah. Okay. So a little bit. I always say I'm from Oak Ridge, but Cookeville feels like home to me.
Sure,
it's my,
sure.
you know, it's been a little bit of childhood and teenage years and young adult years. So, I came back to Tech and then got married at Delmonico right down the road.
Okay, sure.
And my husband, he took me over to the mountains for a little bit in Brevard, North Carolina.
Oh, sure. Oh, sure.
That kind of started, it didn't start my love for the bike trail necessarily. I grew up riding bikes as a kid, whatever, you know, like everyone does. But the mountain biking scene and the trail work scene over in Brevard, we kind of just love that.
Well, it's a big area.
Any chance we get, we drive over there and spend the weekend camping or just with old friends or anything. So spent a little time over there. Now we're back. And we had a little girl. She is turning 4 next
All
week.
Right.
So I have been busy with that. That's my full-time role. And I've taken on this role here with the rail trail. You know, just recently, since last fall, it felt like just enough to that I could do and still manage her at home and still spend the time that I want with her. So,
well,
yeah.
We're mighty good, glad to have you with us. We were talking off air the plight of not our great nonprofits, and is everywhere, is that without staff or someone every day focusing, it's very difficult to move projects forward. Going back, you said that you grew up and fell in love with the outdoors,
mm-hmm.
biking.
I think I always loved it, and I guess I hiked around and biked around at Tech and stuff with some college friends. But I guess going over there, and we would just pick up and go to the mountains anytime we could, and it's easy to do that when you live right there in Brevard, I'm trying to think, like, career-wise, I guess I skipped a whole career.
We're coming back.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Career-wise, I majored in sociology, social work, mm-hmm. At Tech, and have really practiced that since mm-hmm. now in the nonprofit world and the school system, doing like therapy and homework with mm-hmm. moms mm-hmm. of young children who are, you know, in need of resources and support that kind of are in rural communities. So I have that little piece of me of just, I'm a social worker at heart. Right. But now I say I'm a retired social worker, which is fun.
You know, you hit a nerve there too. What a need we have in our country, our society for what you have done and do with, you know, our children and social work and, you know, the two income family. And I'm a lot older than you. My generation, we grew up in a Waltons type era mm-hmm. where, you know, your grandparents were down the road and you had family everywhere and you had a network. And so, you know, in our modern day, I'm not saying it's good or bad,
sure.
but I'm just saying it is.
It's
and
different.
So what the role you have played, any stories from your past in that, how you've been involved, made a difference?
I guess, so I always think, when I think about sociology being my major, I've always been a people watcher
mm-hmm.
and just kind of studying people and how, I mean, I've noticed it in school, how certain kids were treated a certain way and certain groups of people. I learned that there were unspoken rules that we just did.
Yes,
and I think
yeah.
some people are attuned to that and notice it, and some people just go along with it. And I think I've always kind of
noticed it
and, you know, pointed it out. And then so sociology was like right on track for me.
Oh,
of,
yeah.
And so it was cool to kind of see that and how in just those like little micro interactions growing up, that also affects like our whole society and
oh, yeah.
how it's set
oh, yeah.
up and how some people have and some people have not. And
that's right.
And so it is fascinating. And I guess like the counseling side of that. So what I did with in-home therapy was work with mothers primarily. It was with a domestic violence agency. So that's the population I'm kind of dealing with. And they may have had CPS involvement, but they are capable of keeping their children. They need
yes.
to do some classes. Most of them just need to be connected to mental health resources, even like food scarcity, just
yes.
attacking that, home security, you know, those kind of things. So I was the kind of the good guy in
yeah,
that
yeah,
and became
to.
Their friend and taught them, you know, the effects of trauma and what they've been through and kind of tried to help them create a new story and
yes,
find their
yes.
power to do that with their children, to change that track. And it was heavy stuff.
Oh,
and it does take a toll.
It's an insidious problem beneath the surface that most communities don't even they realize it, but the depth of that. I've
mm-hmm.
served in the past on some boards and stuff, and it's really important that we take care of these people
mm-hmm.
who through a lot of them through no fault of their own, or
mm-hmm.
That is really and then you said something, Abraham Maslow, theory of needs. You know, you have to get past the living every day, food,
yeah,
shelter, basics
yeah.
before you can move on to the steps in self-realization.
Right.
And so a lot of these people you've dealt with have gotten stuck
mm-hmm.
in some way. So
yeah.
so you have a you've had a noble calling, but believe you got another noble
sure.
calling here.
And I did. I mean, there is a little connection there of like in my own studies of trauma and overcoming that, you know, some people can actually get stuck in thinking about like getting their head and just thinking, how do I overcome this? How do I get through these issues that I've had or get past the way I grew up or anything? And a lot of like, what I'm doing now is like getting people in nature, getting
oh, yes.
people moving
therapy.
Their bodies
yeah.
and out of their head and
yeah.
in any way that they can. And that itself is healing and therapeutic and heals them from so much more sometimes than just talking through their problems all day and thinking through their problems in and out all day.
Just learning to be, just learning to live nature. And, you know, something came across you talking about. We moved here 04, and this is not about me. I've told you that before. I'm on the other, used to be on the other side of these mics. But Tennessee Tech is, to outsiders, is almost a mountain university.
Yeah.
If you look at the where I come from, Flatlander,
sure.
You know, I came here, when I moved come to Tennessee, I'm in the mountains. So even though these are not mountains to people who live here, waterfalls, mountains, hiking, trails, and, of course, our rail trail, it can be even more of a cornerstone. But we live in a special, special area.
Yeah.
And Tennessee Tech, a lot of people come to Tech to participate and be part of that.
Yeah. Yeah, it is beautiful. It's, I mean, anytime I go to any kind of conference or anything for the trail, it's like, what does your area have? And it's like, okay, look in any direction, there's a state park.
Was it 50 some odd state parks within?
Yeah.
Like an hour away.
And I did that all in college. We just drive for the weekend, camp in Fall Creek Falls or, you know, Standing Stone or wherever.
So you came upon this thing pretty honestly. I mean, this was right up your alley for what you were looking for. And okay, well, we'll come back in just a moment. We got a few seconds left, but this is a really great start to who you are and why you're here and what you're doing, and especially your social calling. So, George Hofford, back soon with Liz, and we'll go forward. George Hofford back with Liz Wilkinson. We're just now peeling the onion and looking at, or the orange or whatever we're doing, and looking inside Liz. And, you know, when we were off air, we were talking about this is where you're at home. You have a birthplace, which we all do. Most of us, for whatever reason, marry, military, job, we move around and hopefully, most of us, not all of us, found a place where we're at home. But this is the closest thing to being even your birthplace. You've got family, an extended family. You want to expand on that? This isn't just you coming in and going to Tech and you've got a history here.
Yeah, we actually, believe it or not, I moved over leaving college when I got married. You know, that kind of pulled me to my next spot. But we actually together chose Cookeville. We moved in the middle of the pandemic.
Now, did you meet at Tech?
We met through mutual friends.
Okay.
He was already over in Brevard. He's a little bit older than me, but
okay.
So mutual friends at a wedding, and and those mutual friends were at Tech.
And
so
the winery, Delmonico.
Yeah.
You said that there was that's beautiful. Love Delmonico Winery.
Yeah. I didn't say this before, but my extended family, they're all from this area, the Upper Cumberland. My aunt and cousins lived in Cookeville, so I was here all the time. My mom has worked in Cookeville, even when we lived in Oak Ridge, and commuted for over 40 years.
Oh,
so,
sure. Oh, okay.
So Cookeville has been a home base for me, even, you know, summers and weekends and spending time at her office. And then the rest of my family is from Fentress County in Muddy Pond area.
Area.
So Clark Range, you know, spent time out there, and I still, you know, visit.
So you might could explain this place to me instead of me explaining it to you.
Well,
you know a lot about it. So your roots run deep, your history runs deep, and Let's talk about today, right now. How did you find out about this position? Did you?
Yeah. So we actually, when we lived in North Carolina, we lived on the bike path there.
So you've had experience with this.
And it was incredible. I walked to work or I biked to work. We could bike to the brewery, Oscar Blues, near us. We could bike to downtown for festivals and not deal with parking. And it was cool. And that was the selling point for me. And so we actually specifically moved to Allgood right
on to take the advantage of the
yeah and so
that's a great
we,
testimony
all the time. I mean, before this position was open, you know, all the time we're on the trail with our daughter, and I walk it with my dad and my dog, and love that we can bike to dinner if we want, or bike to the park and run around, and it's just a fun thing that we love. And you know, I know a lot of the people, and my husband's involved with the Sorba group, the mountain biking, trail building group. So we're connected in that way. So we were aware of the existing rail trail. We were aware of the project, and so I guess I saw that they were hiring, and I was like, well, that's the one thing I think I could do right now. I was taking a break and just wanted
to. Well, this is a passion. This is your dyed in the wool.
Yeah.
You're
and
a
it's kind of stuff. I always like, you know, someone told me, like, try to get paid to do what you kind of already do for free, or that you would do
passion.
For free. Yeah.
You won't ever work
and,
a day in your life.
Right. And so, I would do this. I mean, not that I want anyone to take my salary away, but would do this, and, you know, would love to advance this project. I mean, for myself, for definitely my kid to grow up here and have that kind of experience, and definitely for the future of this place. And even just watching how much Cookeville has grown since I was in college.
I think we've got 10,000 more people.
Yeah,
than we did in the last. In
and in downtown,
ago.
it's just a cool place.
And we have over 100,000 people in our county, in our town every day,
mm-hmm.
because of Tennessee Tech and a couple of hundred
yeah.
industries and our hospital.
Absolutely.
We're the business center, and that's why we play much larger mm-hmm. than a town of 30,000 to 40,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but.
With that, it's still, you know, a micropolitan. You
we
know,
are.
It's still
we are.
People want people that I know that live in Nashville. They love coming here. They're like,
they do.
Oh, we want to move here because you don't. Well, you can just park and just go to dinner and just
and be home by
and go
and be home
to dessert after and the bar
right.
after
that's
or
right.
you know and be home by a decent hour and not sit in traffic.
That's right. We're moving into an exciting, potentially even more exciting part of our history, our future. And
mm-hmm.
it's come. We'll come back to that in the next segment. But you've heard the story. Congressman Bart Gordon, when he was a congressman from Murfreesboro back in 2000, early, worked with our city mayor. I'm going to leave people out. So I'm a Mayor Womack and Keith Lilly and some bike. I'm going to leave again. I'm not going to get into all that. But and we ended up with like a few million dollar, $4-5 million grant, and we built the first 4.5 miles.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been, but it's still. You know, the vision is to have, is it 39, over some lifetimes,
mm-hmm.
we're going to have one of the largest bike trails that will encompass all of our towns,
mm-hmm.
and it will be close to 40 miles.
Yeah, 43 is our
crossing
is our
rivers is an 800-foot elevation change. So, I mean, there's a railroad next to it for
mm-hmm.
excursions and I mean, the future can be extremely bright, but we're living in a different era. You want to comment on that some, to have that kind of a
sure,
resource?
Yeah. It could change this place, honestly. Like, especially the smaller, like Monterey, Baxter, Allgood, those connecting communities.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, I don't know if anyone's ever been to the Virginia Creeper Trail.
Yes,
I mean, just seeing those beautiful Appalachian small towns and
the bike shops, the ice
the
cream shops.
Yeah, you put a business there, people are going, and I mean, people talk about it, people plan their vacations around it, people travel from all over to see it, and just having a little mom and pop shop, it can change the whole game for those people, having something like this. But yeah, it would be the 43 miles is our you know, final goal. We're breaking that up into sections to try to work with the entities and cities involved to try to stay as close to the rail line as possible.
That's right. Rails with trails, rails, which is more difficult in some ways.
Certainly.
It's a different.
So we can build along the right-of-way.
Where we can. Some you have
yeah,
to.
Yeah, and some you have to deviate because of the land and because of the mount, especially going up Brotherton Mountain. That's a,
oh, yeah,
that's a tricky
crazy
one.
George's Gulch.
Yes. But if you've ever been up there, I mean, people are biking it anyways.
Already.
And so another thing is it's a safety issue is that, you know, people are biking up Brotherton Mountain, and we're just trying to give them a more safe way to do with the whole family.
We've got a potentially national attraction, and we're still in the infant stages. I told you what I'm going to talk. I get very excited about the rail trail. George Alford with Liz Wilkinson, back soon. Well, George Alford back with Liz Wilkinson talking about rail trails and outdoors and a family coming back home to their roots. Liz is the administrator, new with the city of Cookeville, working with our rail authority, and also our rail with Friends of the Rail Trail, trying to grow and expand this wonderful resource that we have, Liz. So let's pick up where we left off, talking about what you're doing, your first impressions. You've been here enough now. You see what we're trying to do. You've seen trails like this in Brevard, North Carolina, mm-hmm. beautiful area. Let's just pick up there and go from there.
So I think it's unique in the way that there's so much beauty and land and biodiversity, just natural resources to this area. And there's a great pit stops of these little cool towns with really cool history.
We could connect all four towns.
Yeah,
all four towns. How many counties could do that?
In all of Putnam County.
Yeah.
And that's just what my friends like to do. I mean, like, we're kind of like dirt baggers. I don't know.
Oh, sure. Oh,
we
yeah.
love to
yeah.
just, like, take yeah. off with nothing and walk or bike somewhere and just find a place to sit. And cause it's just somehow more fun to just, like, go to a restaurant if you bike there. And that's what we do on the weekends is we're not going to Nashville or Chicago.
Yeah, we're here.
Anyways, we're finding little small towns with like cool history and cool mom and pop shops and
arts, music, crafts, music, food,
festivals. Things like that. Yeah. And so I think that already we're using it in that way, you know, biking to dinner in Cookeville. And I think that the working with the cities part of it, like with the city of Cookeville, I think another cool thing is where we may deviate from the rail line a little bit, is to have some connectivity between schools. So families
neighborhoods, connectivity,
Local parks. So one of the things that we're focusing on right now with the city meeting this month is trying to connect, almost working backwards a little bit, but it's in our line of vision, connecting Cane Creek to West End Park.
That's right.
And getting a safe way for families to move there. And honestly, there's running groups, there's biking, cycling groups that do that weekly anyways. And we just want to make that safer for them. And it also adds miles to our trail. So, and then eventually we would like to, you know, connect it over to West End. And really, when you look up Cookeville, If you've never been to Cookeville and you look up what is Cookeville, you see the train depot, you see the historic West Side businesses, and then Cane Creek is next on the list.
And then you go to Delmonico Winery, where you were married years ago.
A few years ago. Yeah.
And then you get to Baxter, and you get to the – so this thing will start at Meadowview Lake.
Meadow Creek Park.
And go to the Caney Fork, the Welcome Center eventually.
Caney Fork Bridge.
We're crossing rivers, and But you mentioned in Brevard, if we could go back just
sure.
You lived on a you experienced a rail trail,
yeah.
You and your family in Brevard, North Carolina. You want to talk about that a little bit about
yeah.
how you used it, what your family did?
Absolutely. At the time, we didn't have children. We had a little dog, which was our child.
That's sort of a kid.
It was great, you know, just to take the dog out. But I use it to commute to work, which saved me on gas.
Yes.
It gave me a little more time in the morning, you know, and in the afternoon to disconnect and connect back to, you know, just transition better. And we could, you know, be at dinner or be at the brewery or be in the forest on different trails.
Everything was off, was not motorized.
Right.
Strictly environmentally.
Right. And you meet like-minded people and, you know, there's no one on the bike path that's, like, unhappy. I actually worked in retail, you know, on and off, and you just get, like, you know, some cranky people, it's not fun, but you don't pass someone on a bike trail walking their dog or pushing their kid in a stroller or watching their kid ride their bike or riding the bike themselves. They're all happy and they want to be there and they're enjoying being with each other and in nature. And I love passing people now, even in Allgood. And you kind of just get to know them because you
for
know
sure.
You're
they're
like
regulars.
Yeah, they're regulars. It's kind of like just a third place for you. It's not work, not home, but the trail. But you see like multi-generational like relationships on the trail, and it's just neat. It's just something, you know, we wanted to specifically move to be adjacent to that, to have access to that.
You know, you mentioned biodiversity, the land, and it's a God thing. We have this piece of land here.
Mm.
I mean, but not just here, but this, the Upper Cumberland, the Cumberland Plateau, the Highlands. We have this beautiful, almost unspoiled piece of land that mm-hmm. is, with connectivity, can be something so special.
Right.
And that's what we're hoping to do over the years.
Mm-hmm.
You said something earlier. It's like the modern way of looking at this thing now versus the original was just like the old, what is the Transcontinental Railroad?
Mm-hmm.
You got different towns doing different things, and we're trying to connect them.
Yeah.
It's not all linear one way.
We've got
a lot going on and a lot of interested people. So look in the crystal ball. You've been here enough where you see the challenges. You don't really find a lot of people who are opposed to this.
Right.
A lot of it is marketing, awareness, working with our governments and working with the staff. Kind of talk about looking in the crystal ball. What mm-hmm. do you see in your role and in our volunteers and friends group?
Sure.
What do you see in that?
Yeah, I think that, I could not give a time stamp or anything like that, but I think that working locally first if we get it to Cane Creek, I mean, that's doubling what we have right now, and that's connecting
two
major, you know, attractions just in this area. And I know that the city is working with us to get it in their sidewalk plans and, you know, just to help split funds. And, you know, they want to see that too. They want to see the connectivity of parks and families being able to have access to resources and get downtown and obviously tourism dollars and all of that. And the city of Allgood is very supportive with us, and they they're breaking ground, I think, this year.
It's in their budget, we think, to extend.
Yes, they're extending up to, they're extending their sidewalk, so it'll go
about
behind.
A mile, isn't it?
Yeah, a little over a mile, I think. Yeah.
Then we're going to get up to Paragon Road, and, of course, our county mayor, there's focus in our county area, so
sure.
It's beginning to really move again.
Right. And I think that once we get a decent number of miles,
then it will begin.
I'm already looking at this this trail in Sewanee, and now I'm gonna Mountain Goat Trail. It's, you know, it's getting movement, it's adding miles, and the Tweetsie Trail in Johnson City. So, like, it's already going to get, if we just add those miles with what we can do locally and with county and civil funding, the state is going to look at that.
They've
and
got a major
allocate dollars.
Initiative in outdoors for tourism, for business, and we're well
sure.
positioned.
And Johnson City just got a ton of state allocated dollars for to connect that Jonesboro to Johnson City to Elizabethton Trail.
Knoxville is doing some things.
Right. So I think that my role is kind of initially I've been doing local community awareness and making connections, letting the businesses know what this could mean for them, and so, you know, having that mutual supportive relationship, adding some beautification to the existing
yes.
trail so people are enjoying
signage,
it. Signage for beautiful. Safety and for
that's
people
right.
to
lighting.
Know where we're going. And we've put in some little libraries that they're just fun. And like, well, we hope to add some art installations, and that gets people there. You put a mural on a bridge and people will drive 2 hours to come take a picture with it and then eat dinner and then buy gas and then
there's a term, you know, cool communities.
Yeah.
I know Nashville did this years ago studies. We have these series of cool little communities and bigger communities.
Mm-hmm.
World class arts, music, crafts, waterfalls, hills, valleys,
mm-hmm.
lakes. So as you can tell, I'm excited. I'm trying not to take over this.
No, you're okay. What I was saying, though, is once we add those miles with what we can do,
it will snowball.
Locally, we can go after those big grants, those big state grants, federal grants. People want to see this happen. And so we're just trying to get some momentum and some really solid plans.
Yes.
And good community partners, good relationships with the rail line, with, you know,
public-private partnerships. We
exactly.
really have not. We it's taken time. We're like an overnight success,
mm-hmm.
20 years in. But asking our major companies, foundations,
sure.
trust, wills, estates. We just got a few seconds left. We need people to invest. Tell people how to get in touch with you.
Sure, we have. We have a friends group that meets every second Thursday of the month at St. Michael's at 5:30. Anyone's welcome to come. Find us on Instagram, Facebook.
You got a website.
And
yeah,
we
internet.
Do have a website, TennesseeCentralTrail.com. Easy.
Good deal. Hey,
yeah.
I'm excited. We might go another. We might go another round and tell your dad I talk too much again today.
Okay, so, I will.
George Alford with Liz. Wilkinson, as you can tell, a very exciting topic, and we're glad to have a passionate proponent to come back home. Thank you very much. George Alford, see you soon.